We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season,
what happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host, LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vasse.
Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 6 o'clock, live from Dodger Stadium, where the Dodgers defeat the Rockies today, 3-2. Phone lines are open. We have a couple open at 866-987-2570. Coming up in the next 45 minutes, we will celebrate the 1981 World Championship team. Had a chance to catch up with the man that played more games than any other LA Dodger, Bill Russell, before the game. And also we'll revisit Rick Monday's account of his home run against Steve Rogers in Game 5 of the NLCS in Montreal. So we want to celebrate those guys just as they were celebrated before the game today. And it was great to see each and every one of those players that were in attendance be honored before the game, because that's what makes the Dodgers one of the best and most special organizations, the way they definitely honor their history, because that's what makes the Dodgers who they are, going all the way back to Brooklyn. It's not just a name on the front of the jersey, it's a standard. And that standard was built by the guys that played before the ones that we see on the field now. And those 1981 Dodgers were some of the fiercest competitors that you would ever see. And telling by the cackle of Dusty Baker in his video message to his teammates at their breakfast, they had some fun too. No doubt about it. So we'll get to those guys a little bit later in the show, and it was great to see so many of them, and we're always lucky to see Rick Monday every day here in the booth and just know what he's accomplished in his career. So awesome to see the 1981 Dodgers. Even Steve Sachs, who, in case you don't know why he was wearing number 52, when he got the call in his first season, 52 was the number he was given, and then eventually would transition to his famous number 3, which I'm sure he was very proud of today, to see number 3 hit two home runs in the same game. That was Chris Taylor, who continues to make Steve Sachs and that number 3 very proud with his all-star season. Chris played a great shortstop today, had 3 hits, including those 2 home runs, and becomes the 7th Dodger this season to hit 2 home runs in a game. So very, very impressive by Chris Taylor. Also, can't say enough about Phil Bickford, who I know goes under the radar to a certain extent because he's a middle reliever and doesn't necessarily always come into games late when there's a lead. That role is usually for Blake Treinen, but Bickford has filled a void that was left by Pedro Baez. And say what you will about Baez, but the last few years, Pedro Baez was a very, very important part of this Dodger bullpen because he would pitch and pitch effectively. He would come in any situation and be able to get outs during the regular season. And more importantly, Pedro Baez would pitch 3 days in a row. And with so many injuries and so many guys that are new to the bullpen this year, Phil Bickford has been a godsend for Dave Roberts, one of the few relief pitchers in the middle part of his bullpen that will pitch 3 days in a row and gets outs. And not only does he have that in common with Pedro Baez, but he also has a really good changeup like Pedro Baez developed. So they're a similar type of pitcher, even though they look completely different, but they're filling the same role. And the Dodgers were missing that type of guy until they found Phil Bickford. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. The Dodgers placed Mookie Betts on the injured list before the game, about an hour before the game today, with that right hip inflammation. And I'm not sure where this is going from here or how long Mookie Betts is going to be on the IL. because the Dodgers were waiting and waiting. In fact, waiting 8 straight games before they decided to place him on the IL, hoping that he might be ready Tuesday in San Francisco. Well, that was becoming apparent, and there was only so many games Dave Roberts could go short on the bench. Not only Mookie Betts, but Max Muncy has been on paternity leave this weekend as he and his wife Kelly welcomed their first baby girl into the world, their first child into the world. Max will be back Tuesday in San Francisco, and he has hit 8 home runs against the Giants this year, so it worked out well for baby Muncy to wait until the Rockies series, but nonetheless, Dave Roberts couldn't go any more games with a short bench. He's got a 50% Cody Bellinger who could only hit. He couldn't run. So, you know, it was necessary for the Dodgers to make a decision on Mookie Betts. And they activated a pitcher, Jimmy Nelson, when they placed Betts on the IL. So it still left him short on the position player front in this game today. But it is the Rockies. They are on the road. And they are 10-33 now on the road. So they can get away with that type of stuff against the Rockies, but you can't get away with that type of stuff against the Giants. So we'll see who the Dodgers decide to go with in San Francisco. Dave Roberts did say he is encouraged by what the trainers had told him as far as Cody Bellinger. They're hoping that he'll be ready to be in the starting lineup on Tuesday. He came up as a pinch hitter today in the bottom of the 7th inning and grounded out to second base. So that's the good news. And as far as Corey Seager goes, he's supposed to go out on a rehab assignment or go to Camelback Ranch next week. So all I can say is he's still not in the starting lineup, and it's becoming a little annoying to say he's coming back here or going out to rehab assignments then when it's been in the holding pattern now for the last couple of weeks. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get to some trade rumors a little bit later, but first let's go out to the phones. Dave in San Bernardino, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Dave.
Hey, D-Vass, what's happening? I want to talk about the 81 championship team. I'm 60 years old. I've been a Dodger fan since I was 8 years old. Went and got Don Drysdale's autograph and I saw the Giants, Willie Mays. My dad was a big Giant fan, but I was always a big Dodger fan. I think that Fernando, Garvey, Say, should be in the Hall of Fame. I've seen Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, all these guys, and they're up there. Garvey, I mean, over 1,000 games consecutive, all-star games, what he did. He went to San Diego, took him to the playoffs. Say, I mean, that guy, he gets bopped in the head and comes back and leads the Dodgers to a championship, goes to the Cubs, takes him to the playoffs. He's got comparable statistics with Oscar Gamble and Ron Santo, and I hate doing that. I hate saying, well, if this guy's in there and he, you know, I just want to say that those Dodgers should be in the Hall of Fame. And Fernando, I mean, I was listening to...
Well, that's a slam dunk, Dave. That's a slam dunk. Fernando should be in there. And, yeah, Ron Say actually has the highest war, if you look at that stat, and I know a lot of people do, to end an argument. And Ron Say actually has the highest war of any L.A. Dodger position player. And Steve Garvey, when you talk about his case for the Hall of Fame, people bring up his regular season numbers, which is fine, but... how about baseball writers and voters start looking at a player's performance in the playoffs? Steve Garvey was almost a 330 hitter in the playoffs, and it's not like he just went there once. He went there numerous times, and like you said, when he went to the Padres, led them to the World Series. So that's part of the resume that doesn't get talked about enough when it comes to Steve Garvey. And Ron Say, he was overshadowed by Mike Schmidt. Ron Say was a great player and definitely deserves consideration. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to David in Alhambra. David, sorry we couldn't get to you last night. What do you have to say today?
Hey, David, thank you for taking my call. The thing I was
Hey, David, is it true you used to be a high school football coach?
I was a high school football coach, and also I was played Little League Baseball, and I coached in the city
park. You were a coach?
Yeah.
You don't seem like a guy that could get a dog to bark, David. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Okay. Okay. But anyhow, I was going to tell you, Dave, that what's your opinion on
of Kingman's performance?
The performance today as far as the base running. Now, do you think Pollock went on his own or the third base coach told him to go? Because on that play, I noticed that the first baseman was playing up close. So I would say he went on his own and didn't listen to the coach. What's your opinion on that? And the other thing, it was, do you think the Dodgers are going to make it all the way with all these minor league players? And
not if those minor league players are going to be playing. No, I don't think they'll go all the way. They need to get healthy, David. And thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I'm sure Pollock went on his own. He's a veteran player, a really good base runner. So no doubt he's got autonomy out there in this day and age of baseball. As far as the Dodgers and what they may do at the trade deadline, they're looking for starting pitching and bullpen help. They're trying to get healthy with Corey Knebel starting to go out on rehab assignments, and they're looking to supplement that as well. I've heard Ian Kennedy's name bantered about as far as a possibility, and he would be a nice complement to the Dodger bullpen, no doubt about it. But starting pitching is where the Dodgers really need some help, with Kershaw on the injured list and Trevor Bauer's situation. Plus, you have to keep in the back of your mind the number of innings that Julio Urias is throwing right now. It's very tenuous to have Julio jump from, 80 or 90 innings last year and expect him to throw 200-plus innings, including the playoffs. That's not something the Dodgers want to venture into. They want a fresh Julio for October to either start or go into the bullpen and close games. So they are talking to the Pirates about Tyler Anderson. I've heard his name. As far as the Padres go, they have already made a trade today for Adam Frazier, the second baseman who was in the Pirates lineup today against the Giants, and he was double switched out of the game. And he is going to San Diego for three prospects. And my sources are telling me that the Padres are not done trying to add offense. I have been told that the Padres and Rangers have been discussing a trade for power hitter outfielder Joey Gallo, who's a gold glover out there in the outfield. And the Padres reportedly, according to my sources, have told me that Eric Hosmer may be in discussions to go back to Texas along with prospects. So essentially, the Rangers would be trading Joey Gallo and buying a prospect along with Eric Hosmer from San Diego. And you may say, Joey Gallo, he strikes out, he doesn't do that much. His numbers overall don't look that great. That's true, but since baseball has cracked down on pitchers using that sticky substance, on June 25th, Joey Gallo has 11 home runs and has an OPS of 1,200. So the Padres are far from over before Friday, the July 30th trade deadline. And keep your eye on the San Francisco Giants as well. Farhan Zaidi definitely is not going to stand pat. They're looking for pitching as well. And also maybe trying to pry away Craig Kimbrell and Chris Bryant from the Chicago Cubs. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. When we continue live from Dodger Stadium, we'll check in with Jerry Harrison Jr., and we'll get back to your phone calls. Plus, we'll let you hear from Bill Russell and Rick Monday as we celebrate the 1981 World Series Championship. Dodgers beat the Rockies today 3-2 on AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Be anywhere, at any time, and you can hear past episodes of Dodger Talk.
All of those things.
Search AM 570 on the iHeartRadio app.
We're streaming online.
We stream every game, too.
Come find me.
Back to Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports.
David Vassay live at Dodger Stadium, where the Dodgers defeat the Rockies 3-2 today behind two home runs from Chris Taylor and a go-ahead home run by Will Smith in the bottom of the eighth inning. Before the All-Star break, Will Smith was only hitting 200 in his last 20 games going into the break. Now, since the break, the catcher, don't forget he's a catcher, is hitting .333 with four home runs and 14 RBIs. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Dodgers remain two games back of San Francisco in the NL West. Let's go out to Sportsnet LA analyst Jerry Harrison Jr. Jerry, the Dodgers got healthy against the Rockies heading to San Francisco on Tuesday and also gained a game back from the Giants. Where do you see the Dodgers right now going into this series on Tuesday?
Well, I'll tell you what. Obviously, we're still banged up. We're hoping Joe Kelly's okay. It looked like he may have injured his hamstring. We're hoping Cody Bellinger will be able to play for the series. Losing Mookie Betts to the IL definitely is not going to help us. But, again, you have to figure out a way to win these ball games. You're chasing the Giants. They're banged up as well. So there's really no excuses. I think, you know, we got to learn from the last series against the Giants. You have to play better defense. You have to shore up your on the defensive end. Do not give that team extra outs because the Giants, they don't beat themselves. They live by the long ball. They catch the ball, and they have pretty solid pitching. So hopefully we put ourselves in position to win the series and play good baseball.
When you look at the Dodgers and Mookie Betts, Jerry, Dave Roberts said that this has been bothering him all season long, and they've been able to control it to a certain extent until that series at Coors Field. You've had a lot of different injuries. I remember you had a bad back and a bad hip at times at the end of your career. Do you believe that this is going to be an extended period of time on the injured list for Mookie Betts?
You know what? I really don't know. It's one of those things. With me, it was more serious. I had to end up having surgery on my hip. And, you know, the back was an issue because of my hip, especially in 2013, my last year. But Mookie Betts, he's a younger player. I was 37 years old. Mookie Betts is 27. That is a huge difference. So I expect him to recover a lot quicker. The one thing that does cause me to pause a little bit with Mookie is he got a cortisone shot, and he didn't respond to the cortisone shot. So I'm hoping, you know, usually cortisone shots, by the third or fourth day, you start really feeling a lot better. I think he had it a couple of days ago. So I'm hoping, you know, by Tuesday or Wednesday, he starts feeling a lot better. He starts to run, and then hopefully by the Diamondback series, I heard that's when he's supposed to come off, right?
Because yeah.
He's backdated? Okay,
yeah.
Hopefully by that, he'll be running at full strength and be back in the lineup. But again, you know, you use your legs when you play center field, when you play right field like Mookie Betts does. He's an explosive, fast twitch athlete. So with that type of hip, you have to make sure, you know, you do not want to re-injure this thing and have another setback. So when he's ready, I would give it another extra day or two to make sure it's okay.
Early on this homestand, I saw him taking ground balls at second base. It's not abnormal to see him take ground balls on the infield, but this looked a little bit different. Do you believe that if Mookie Betts came back and was moved to the infield to play second base, that would alleviate any pressure on the hip? Or, you know, my thinking is that would make it worse, don't you think, on trying to turn a double play or diving for a ball on the infield dirt? How would you see that if the Dodgers decided to get him off his feet in the outfield?
Yeah, I think, you know, I thought it was easier to play the outfield than the infield because in infield, it's more fast twitch, quick. That you need that first step burst to go get the ball. You need that in the outfield as well, and it's a longer run. But then you can kind of hide a little bit, especially if you're in right field. You can tell your center field, hey, man, shade me over a little bit. Help me out. Ball in the gap. I know Ken Griffey Jr. would tell me that at times when I was the center fielder. He was a right fielder. Hey, help me out a little bit on ball in the gap. You can kind of hide a little bit in the outfield, but in the infield, you really can't hide anywhere. You know, so I think the fast twitch can come into effect as an infielder, but, you know, if he feels psychologically, it might be better for him to get a couple games at second base first and then move to the outfield. Hey, if it allows him to be in that lineup, I'm all for it.
Jerry Harrison Jr., analyst for Sportsnet LA, joins us after the Dodgers beat the Rockies on Sunday 3-2. Jerry, before I let you go, Kenley Jansen is going to have another crack at the Giants up there in San Francisco. You saw what took place in those last two games. Where do you believe Kenley's head's at, and what does he have to do better? Because he blew the first three save opportunities after the All-Star break.
Well, if you look at his velocity, it was down against the Giants, for whatever reason, I'm hoping he got that rectified because the velocity was up last night to 96 miles an hour. And then command. You have to be able to have command of that cutter and that two-seamer. That two-seamer was very important for him last night. So, again, if he has velocity, he has command, I have no problem having Kenley Jansen close. I just love his makeup. I've known Kenley Jansen for years. He is as tough as it gets. He has the perfect mindset to be the closer. Judges worry about his command. Is he using his legs up? Is he using his hips? I know he's talked about that. That's been a game changer in the first hand with him and Brandon McDaniel, the trainer. They've really utilized his hips now to go downhill and add that velocity. So hopefully he has that figured out. And if he does, I expect some major payback against the Giants.
All right, Jerry, we'll talk to you next week when the Dodgers are in San Francisco.
Sounds good, Dave.
All right, have a great rest of your Sunday. Jerry Hairston Jr. from the Sportsnet LA studios. 866-987-2570. We heard chants of CT3 throughout Dodger Stadium, and Jerry was the one that started that nickname for Chris Taylor. Here was Taylor's second home run of the day in the fifth inning.
St. Louis on the road beat Cincinnati 10-6. Taylor drives one deep to left field. It is back. It is gone. It's in the Dodger bullpen. A home run for Taylor, his second of the game, and it's tied at two.
Taylor tied the game twice for the Dodgers. The Rockies got a run off Josiah Gray in the first inning. He led off the bottom of the first inning with a home run to tie it up at one. And then in the fifth inning with one out, he tied the game again at two to give the Dodgers new life. And Will Smith hit the go-ahead home run in the bottom of the eighth inning off of Carlos Estevez. Edwin Ramirez receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card good at over 100 Daniel's locations, go to am570lasports.com, keyword home run. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Eric, who is at Dodger Stadium today. Hi, Eric. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, it was really exciting to be out there today honoring the 81 team. I was 13 when they won that World Series, and I remember it like yesterday. My question is this. I would like someone to answer. The athletes today are the best trained, the best nutrition, the best travel, and yet there are more injuries in the game today than there's ever been before. I don't understand how the athletes of the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, those guys played almost every game. And yet today, they don't play at all. Can someone explain to me why this is happening?
So when you say somebody, are you expecting me to answer it?
Well, anybody. I just don't understand how... Look at the Reds and the Dodgers in the 70s and the 80s. I mean, those guys, but Johnny Bench caught 140 games as a catcher in the 70s. I mean, the Dodgers infield played, they played every game. Did they not have injuries when they played? I mean,
did they not? There's a few different layers to it, Eric. Number one, back in those days, guys did not lift weights as much. And as you know, it's better to be more elastic in baseball than to be tight with muscle mass. So guys have gotten really into that. Number two, as far as not playing every day, there are multiple trainers and the medical staffs have grown exponentially on each and every team. So they're more careful with players. If there's something little bugging them, instead of making it a big deal, they say, you know what, let's put you on the IL more than they used to. And number three, if we're talking about today in 2021, I've talked to trainers around baseball and they say, look, everybody was so fixated on pitcher's health after a short season, but it's actually been the position players. Their bodies are on a clock and their clock was messed up last year with that weird season. So that's part of the reason why you're seeing a lot of injuries to position players just as much as pitchers.
Okay, right. Well, I mean, this has been happening before last year. I mean, the injuries have been happening
honestly, Eric,
before.
Well, all I can tell you is I follow the Dodgers every day, and this has been an abnormal year when it comes to injuries during their course of their 8 consecutive division championships. They have never had these many injuries during a course of one season during the 8 straight division championships. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Paul in Granada Hills. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Paul.
Hiya, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great, Paul. It was a great day out here at Dodger Stadium.
And I was there. It was.
All right.
Number one, when Mookie gets healthy, who do you want to see in the leadoff spot? Because I think Chris Hale has been doing quite well there. And I think Mookie has quite enough pop to hit 4 or 5 and drive runs in. And number two, with the injuries to the rotation and Josiah Gray kind of shoving today, do you think he can eat innings? You know, maybe
did
not.
Did he really shove?
Yeah, did you say shove? No,
did he
Josiah
shove?
Gray,
I didn't think he shoved today. I thought he pitched well.
Well, you know.
I don't think he shoved. Shoving's like what Buehler did against the Giants. This was not shoving. 4 innings, 4 walks, a home run is not shoving. But I understand what you're saying, Paul.
Yeah.
Yes, he's going to get another shot, but he needs to be able to be better and go deeper into games. It was only his second major league appearance, and this is a veteran team, and they're trying to win a World Series. And is Josiah Gray going to be a part of that? He is, because of injury, and they need him for the rest of the regular season, at least in the short term. But I wouldn't start, you know, putting him on the same level as what we've seen in the past from guys like Buehler and May. He's a good pitcher, but he's not on that level.
I think when I say shove, I do project my own high school experiences as a pitcher.
All right, but, so now you're going Al Bundy on me, Paul.
A little bit, but, you know, we saw Gonsolin open, and Gonsolin had a great year last year. And
I like Josiah Gray. I think he's good, but I think you're over-hyping him on this call. Somebody just tuning in right now, if they listen to Paul in Granada Hills, they would think that he went 7 innings and had 10 strikeouts.
I pray to God they don't look up my high school stats at Granada Hills High School, because, God, they were, you know.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Appreciate you taking us down memory lane and making it about Paul in Granada Hills. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. The Dodgers beat the Rockies today 3-2, but before the game, it was a great celebration of being able to celebrate the Dodgers 1981 World Championship team. It was great to see guys like Pedro Guerrero, Ron Say, Bill Russell, Steve Garvey, Steve Sachs, who came up and played 39 games that day. But definitely, I thought Rick Monday did a great job of remembering some of their teammates and coaches and their Hall of Fame manager, Tommy Lasorda, who is no longer with us. And, you know, you remember guys like Bob Welch, Bobby Castillo, Steve Howe, Jay Johnstone, all those guys. But it was really tremendous to have the Dodgers celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Dodgers in 1981, getting redemption against the New York Yankees, beating them in 6 games after getting down 2-0 in that World Series. And Vince Scully was not calling the game for Dodgers radio during the World Series that year. He was on the national broadcast, and we always hear his call of the 88 World Series, but you don't always hear the final call from Vince Scully after Steve Howe got the final out and Kenny Landreau caught that ball in center field at Yankee Stadium.
Watson 0 for 4, Howe out of a stretch, a check of the runners, and the 1-0 pitch, Watson, it's a high fly ball to Landreau, this is it, Landreau waiting and waiting, he's got it, the Los Angeles Dodgers have just about done the impossible, Lasorda throws his hat away, runs out with his hands and arms held high in the air to grab Steve Garvey, and the Dodgers, who were down 2-0 and beat Houston. They were down 1-2 and beat Montreal. They were down 2-0 to the Yankees and beat them 4 straight.
Yes, indeed. That was the final call from Vince Scully on the national radio broadcast. And Kenny Landro was out here, number 44. Great to see him. Great to see Daryl Thomas out of Dorsey High School. Kenny out of Dominguez High School. Local guys that played for their local team and won the World Series championship. Reggie Smith, Davey Lopes, Dusty Baker, they were a huge part of that team. Mike Socia, they all were not able to make it today, but they were not forgotten. And Mike is in Japan with Team USA managing them, hopefully, to another gold medal. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. As you know, so many of you love that dream infield, that legendary infield of Garvey, Lopes, Russell, and Say. And we had a chance to catch up with Bill Russell before the game today, and he talked about what it meant for that Dodger team to get redemption against the Yankees in 1981.
Lo and behold, you know, we, the veteran team that we were, we've been in the wars together. It's almost like the 2020 team of the Dodgers, you know. They've been to World Series and lost two other times, and basically what we went through with the Yankees. And finally, luck on our side, being down 2-0, the veteran team that we were, we came back and beat them 4 in a row. So what a special year that was. And it was even more special because it was the last year that the infield was together. You know, we were together a long time, 8.5 years. It probably will never be broken. The following year, one of our players had gone. Davey left, and Steve Sachs came in the picture. But it was just a special time. We were together through 3 World Series, and the 4th one, we finally got that championship ring.
Yes, they did. They lost to the A's in 5 games in 1974, then lost to the Yankees in 77 and 78, and were able to come back and win the World Series in 1981. And a lot of those players have offered their opinion to me that during that stretch of time from 77 to 81, they all to a man say 1977 was the best team, despite finally getting over the hump in 1981. And the Dodgers never would have gotten that opportunity if it wasn't for Rick Monday, who came up with one of the biggest home runs in Dodger franchise history in Game 5 of the NLCS in Montreal in the 9th inning against Steve Rogers. And Rick and I get to have a great conversation about baseball every day before the game on our pregame show. And it was really special the last couple of days to reflect with him on his humongous role on that team and that home run.
Yeah, I look at it a little bit differently, David, because without Fernando's first 8 innings of the ball game, without the defense that turned in some big plays, without that first run that was knocked in that game, which I happened to score the first run and tied the game at 1-1, without a whole lot of situations that took place and without a whole lot of victories during what proved to be the first half of the season, we would not have had a chance in that 9th inning to even be there to begin with. The feeling itself was instantaneous. Okay, great. We have a 1-run lead. We still had to get 3 outs in the bottom of the 9th inning, and the Expos had not just the tying run, they had the winning run and a chance to go to New York and play in the World Series. They had those runners on base, and they were an excellent team. I mean, you look at the Montreal Expos in 1981, maybe overlooked, but their talent level was off the charts.
And Rick said a few times today that he felt like the Expos were a better team than the Yankees. And, you know, that's hard to argue, and that says a lot coming from Rick. And, you know, I talked to Ron Renicki the other day here about that 1981 team. He was another young guy, a rookie in 81. And he told me that Rick Monday actually took him under his wing and showed him the ropes on how to be a big leaguer and to be part of the 81 Dodgers. So really special time here today, and the Dodgers did a great job of celebrating those guys and their World Series championship. And in case you missed any of those interviews with Rick or Bill Russell, you can podcast those on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. That'll do it for us on Dodger Talk today. We'll be back with you on Tuesday after the Dodgers and Giants hook up again. It will be Julio Urias on the mound, who is 12-3 with an ERA of 3.63, going up against Logan Webb, who is 4-3 with an ERA at 3.54. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at 5:30 with first pitch at 6:45. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Dodger Stadium. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the shows, like I said, you can find it on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. Once again, the final score at Dodger Stadium today. The Dodgers close out the homestand with a win, beating the Rockies 3-2. Have a great rest of your Sunday. See ya.